What is up, Rundown Nation? Wall back with you for one of the most exciting times of the year, college football bowl season. I know our guest, Josh Harlow, is excited for bowl season. How you doing, Mr. Harlow?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys again for having me back. I am psyched about some bowl season. It's one of the best times of year. I look forward to it every year. I'm super excited to dig into the details with you guys.
Absolutely. We appreciate you having you here. And my man, my co-host, Mr. Story, for almost all of the season here with us. How are you doing, Mr. Story?
I'm doing outstanding. I'm just so excited to get into this. I'm doing outstanding. Mr. Wall, I love bowl season. It's my second favorite time of the year is bowl season, the first being week one of the college football season, of course. It just means that we get good games. We get a meaningful game almost every single day of the week from now through the first week in January. I can't wait.
Absolutely, and we get a lot of cross-conference play, so we get to see how good the conferences actually are. You know, we don't get to see that all throughout the season, usually at the beginning of the season, and then, you know, we go right into conference play, so we don't get to see those cross-conference matchups. We get to see those in the bowls for sure, because they want those matchups. They want a heavy, diverse crowd coming. They really want a lot of eyes on their product, no matter what the bowl is. So it's really exciting this time of year. I will say that we got the college football playoff first round that we're going to hit today in our first set of games. By the way, we're going to split the games. There's a lot of games. We're talking about 40 bowl games plus the other playoff games that haven't been set yet as well. So we're going to split it into three sets. We're going to do the first set today for 16 games or so, and then we're going to do the next games thereafter in two more episodes just so you guys can follow along. But I want to mention the first round of the playoffs we will be talking about today. I want to get you guys, I didn't put this in the show sheet because I want to get honest opinions. Josh, you're going to go first. What were your opinions about how the college football playoff committee ranked these teams and where we ended up with the playoff seedings?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people are going to argue things like, you know, should Notre Dame have gotten in? I actually, maybe I'm in the minority here, but I think that they got that right. When it comes down to it, I felt like it was Notre Dame versus Miami, right? For one of those last spots or the last spot. And Miami beat him head to head. I know it was in the beginning of the season, but Miami won that game. Like, you can't put Notre Dame in the college football playoff if they lost to the other team that was battling to get in head to head. So I actually think that they got most of it right. You know, Tulane, James Madison, like, are they for real? We're about to find out because they're playing with the big boys now, but I think of myself in the minority here, but I think they got the Notre Dame decision right.
Sorry, hot seat, devil's
advocate. I'll play devil's advocate a little bit, Josh, because the Notre Dame has a really strong, or had a really strong relationship with the ACC. We'll see what happens going forward. But the question is, what is Notre Dame supposed to do? I mean, we're talking about week one versus
join
week
a conference.
14. Well, I mean, join what, the ACC? Then you go back to the conversation about the schedule. You can't demand that the ACC field better teams, right? The ACC is what the ACC is. So
right. You're
supposed to join crowded conferences already, and there's enough weak teams in the Big Ten and the SEC. You're going to have these conversations. I don't know what the answer is. I just know that it's caused a lot of controversy, and also you're seeing quite a number of teams. This is like the dam bursting on the CFP bowls, right? I'm not sure where we go from here. There's a lot of these bowls. This feels like those teams, Iowa State, Kansas State, Notre Dame, opting out. Is this the beginning of the end for bowl season as we know it? I hope not, but it does not bode well for the future, in my opinion.
No, it doesn't. And some of those teams, they had more of a right to opt out of the bowl games. You do have your players that they're already home. They're not even at campus anymore. They've gone away from their meal programs. They've gone away from their training programs for the, you know, small break they get before January anyways. So a lot of those teams did have the excuses. Obviously, we're talking about here Notre Dame that did opt out of what would have been a big bowl for them, for their fan base. Should they have done that? That's another question. What I want to say about the college football playoff is there's two things I always want to ask, and I want to ask Kirk Herbstreit this question. I want to get it from somebody that has some say in college football. Is it supposed to be the 12 best teams in college football, or is it supposed to be the 12 most deserved teams in college football? Either way you put it this year, they are not the 12 best teams in college football in the playoffs right now. I guarantee you that. And they are not the 12 most deserved teams in the college football playoff right now. That's all I really have to say about that, because I wish we could get an answer to that question. I wish they would define it. I wish we could really, you know, drill down on something so that it's not so subjective going forward. But we don't want to bring this program down because we got nothing but celebration because the Bulls are here. You guys are know you know where I'm going with this one. Cricket Celebration Bowl. It's the first bowl we're going to talk about. And these are two teams that we have not talked about on this program probably ever. Well, maybe last time we had a Cricket Celebration Bowl. But we're talking about South Carolina State versus Prairie View A&M. A lot of you people listening to this program might not be familiar with these teams. It's because they're not in the FBS. They are in the FCS Division One, but they're playing in a quite exciting Cricket Celebration Bowl. Do either one of you have a back, somebody want to back in this game? You know anything about this one?
We don't even have a spread on this game yet, do we? I was looking, scouring the interwebs to look for a spread, a money line, a total, a player prop, something that we could put some money on, and I have come up so far with squat. Josh, have you run into anything?
No, I haven't. I was doing a little, just a little bit of light reading on the Cricket Celebration Bowl because I'm a football sicko, and really the only thing that I could determine, at least for this one, there's a couple of things that you can look at for this game, but I feel like maybe Prairie View A&M, it feels like they're playing with house money. This is their first appearance in this bowl game, and this comes after knocking off Jackson State, who I think most people thought would get there. Both have pretty strong defenses, could be low scoring, but South Carolina State is on a 7-game win streak. They're on an absolute heater, so it'll be interesting to see how things play out in this one. I think most people would probably take South Carolina State in this matchup.
Even with the Prairie View A&M win over Jacksonville State 2 weeks ago, or Jackson State, which don't forget, that's Deion's old program there. He did quite a bit. I know there was a surprise that they won that game. So you're still back in South Carolina State in this one, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess we'll find out on Saturday. I could give you the cliches, balanced run game, control the clock, limit explosive plays, but frankly, I couldn't name 10 players between the two teams, so.
No, and that's what we're honest here on the podcast. We don't watch these teams throughout the year. We're not going to talk too much about it. You were asking for a line. I'm going to give you a line. This I can tell you, Mr. Story. We got South Carolina State at about a 70% probability on the exchange. That comes out to about a -233. So, Josh, come on now. Coming through with the big win there on who the favorite is. But again, that's a 2K max bet right there before you're really going to the order book. So it's, there's not a lot of faith in the Ember, but Josh was correct. We're at about a two minus 233 there for South Carolina State in that game. Let's jump to another game, the Bucked Up LA Bowl. Now, I don't remember this one from past seasons. A lot of these bowls do change names. They're the same bowl, but they just get bought up by different sponsors. I do like the matchup we get in this one. Boise State versus Washington. This is December 13th, which I should have mentioned for the Cricket Bowl. Same day, Saturday. These are the first day of bowl games we got. Boise State, now that's a team you got to be backing, right? Or are we going Big Ten in this one, boys?
I think I got to go Big Ten in this one. I know it's a heavy spread, 9.5 points, but I'm impressed with that program there. I'm impressed with Demon Williams, well, the Williams in general over there, and of course Jonah Coleman, one of the best running backs in college football. Not sure if he's actually going to go to the draft this year or if he's coming back. But Boise State comes in with momentum. They won the Mountain West Championship. They enter on a high note, but I think that the level of competition, the talent, the coaching, it's just going to be too much for Boise State. I think Washington is going to lean into like a really balanced approach here between running and passing, and they should walk away with this one. I see a 2-touchdown game.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, Mikey. I really like Washington's quarterback, Williams Jr. He's a playmaker. Watched him play a lot this year and have a really high opinion of him. For Boise State, I mean, Ashton Gentry's not walking through that door. So I think I'd lean Washington here.
Absolutely. Last year with Mr. Genty, you might have a different opinion there, Josh. I will say a 52 and a half. I know Story there mentioned the spread. It is at 9.5. Washington, obviously, the favorite. We got an over under in this one at 52 and a half. I kind of like the over in this one. We're talking about two teams going out west. They're going to be playing in good weather. They're not going to be playing up north there in Washington where it's snowing, where it's going to be cold. They're not going to be playing at home at Boise State where, you could get some inclement weather there, some bad weather that doesn't bode well for the over. They're going to be playing in good condition. So that's one thing I'll look for in this game. Washington has been putting up points from the couple times I've seen them play this year. So I'll probably stay away from the spread in this game completely. I will probably be going with the over under in this Washington game. I am looking right now at I'm going to quote as much as I can the probabilities for winning too. Some people have been interested in that. If we convert it to actual probabilities versus the American money line. I'm just going to look straight off the exchange. We're talking about a 73% probability that Washington wins this game. So it's tough to go against that Washington football team in this one. Let's jump away from that Saturday. We just had the Cricket Celebration Bowl and the Bucked Up LA Bowl on December 13th, that first Saturday. We're talking about a Tuesday game. I know this is going to get Mr. Story's engines revving, baby. Tuesday football, that's what he lives for. And Mr. Story, you know who we got in this one? I'll let you announce it because it's going to make you really happy.
Oh, Troy and Jacksonville State. My gosh. Can we talk about a better running back in the nation? I mean, we've talked about some very high profile, strong running backs this year, but Cam Cook, I got a feeling. I mean, he's got almost 2,000 all-purpose yards this year. He's going to want to showcase. He's probably going to the NFL draft this year. This should be a really exciting game. The over-under is a little bit surprising, 46 and a half, but I guess that speaks to Troy's defense, right? They've got one of the better Sun Belt's more reliable defense, a really strong front seven. So, can you maintain can Jacksonville State maintain success in that running game against Troy's heavy front seven? And I think so. I don't think that Troy's going to be able to slow down Cam Cook. I think Jacksonville State is going to have some positive down and distance situations. They're going to keep some drives going, and this one could tilt towards Jacksonville State for me. So, I like him getting points.
Man, Mikey, I don't know if I've ever agreed with you more early on in a show because I kind of had the same thoughts. Cam Cook is obviously dynamic, and Caden Creel gives Jacksonville State, along with Cam Cook, a very physical ball control type of identity, right? So I feel like if you're gonna have a lean in this one, Jacksonville State is probably the way to go.
Man, I try to throw these guys off, and then I can't even get them off their game. I throw Troy Jacksonville State at you. They're running, naming the running back here. They're naming the quarterback. Just can't throw you guys off. I'm looking at the exchange here. We are at Jacksonville State at a 40% probability, Mr. Story. So you're getting some money back in your pocket if they win that one. Hey, you know I don't mind betting on a dog. Let's jump to another day here of college football. The day after, Wednesday, December 17th, we got Staff DNA Cure Bowl. We got some FBS teams we're going to talk about here again. Old Dominion versus South Florida in this football game. Old Dominion is getting 3.5. Depending what book you're at, you might be getting that straight three. So, pick your poison there when you're betting. Over under in this one, 53.5. Good amount of points. I don't know that I'd be set betting either way in this one because just not a team, not a game where I know much about either team.
Well, I'm going to be actually in Orlando that day. I'll be in Orlando this week. So I'm going to see, we're going to see a lot of Bulls shirts and jerseys floating around down there. And so I don't know too much about these teams. I did know about South Florida in the past. I do know Byron Brown is an excellent quarterback, one of the most probably productive signal callers, especially in that conference this season. They've got a pretty good explosive play rate. So just out of principle, the fact that I'm going to be down there, I'm going to take give me the offense and give me South Florida minus 3.5. Otherwise, I can't be cheering for Old Dominion while they're playing down there.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at some very high level information on this game, I feel like most of the public agrees with you, Mikey. I'm not gonna lie to anyone and say that I watched a whole lot of Old Dominion or South Florida football this year, but just looking at some of the things that I'm seeing, I'd lean South Florida.
There you go. Hey, South Florida, it is. And the public agrees with that. We're at about a 59% probability South Florida wins this football game. 41, 42% on the Old Dominion side. Obviously, we got a little bit of juice there, but I'm just quoting the exchanges here. Let's jump to another game that same day, Wednesday, December 17th. It won't be near where Mr. Story is in this one, but nonetheless, might be an exciting football game. The 68 Ventures Bowl, Louisiana versus Delaware. And I know these games are a little tough to stomach for some of the you fans that just like those big games. We're about to jump on this podcast, and Mr. Story here is telling me ESPN didn't even have the right teams listed for this bowl in their betting analysis. Is that accurate, Mr. Story?
That is correct. On their bowls page, where they're just listing out the games, the times, the spreads, etc., they had Delaware versus, or excuse me, Louisiana versus Eastern Illinois. And as much as we'd love to see the Eastern Illinois Panthers, that is not this game. This is the Louisiana Raging Cajuns versus, good God, I can't. What's the Delaware mascot? Somebody
I
help
think
me
it's the
out.
Fighting Blue Hens.
Oh, the Fighting Blue Hens. Yeah, you're
The
right.
Fighting Blue Hens. Come on, boys.
Well, I mean, Josh, you sound like a Delaware fan. What's your take on this game?
No, you can't put me on the spot. Listen, I know their mascot because Mr. Joe Flacco was a Fighting Blue Hen.
That is true. I forgot
Yeah.
about that. Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
You,
yeah.
yeah.
Oh,
Ivy
yeah.
League, right? Or is
Yeah.
that Ivy League?
No,
Okay.
not
No,
Ivy
it's.
League. Not
Well,
Ivy League.
I'm thinking of Fitzpatrick. Right.
Oh yeah, he went to Harvard,
Harvard,
right?
yeah. Anyway,
Yeah.
yeah. Well, okay, but they do have, so Delaware does have a pretty prolific signal caller in Nick Minicucci. I think that's how you pronounce it. Let's get Mr. Woj back on here. He'd love to pronounce this name. But yeah, almost 3,700 yards passing this year. This over under is quite hefty, 58 and a half, which is a little interesting based on the fact that the Louisiana's style of play is very physical, very run oriented. So I'm not quite sure where I'm going on this one. This feels like one. It's a Wednesday game, Wednesday night game, probably one you can watch and maybe catch your eye on a couple of players that might be heading to the draft. Guys you want to keep an eye on as they enter the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, just from looking at some of the team stats, it seems like Delaware is a pass-heavy offense. There, not a whole lot of rushing stats, or at least not one running back with the overwhelming rush yards or TD numbers here. So look for Delaware to put the ball in the air. Yeah, that's about all I got on this one.
I will say I couldn't come up. If I thought about it, I would have remembered their mascot. I would have remembered their surname, if you will. But coming in the future years, I will definitely know it because they are transitioning to the FBS. They are no longer going to be D2. Well, I'm excuse me, FCS as they call it these days. I'm an old man, excuse me. They will be moving to the FBS, so we will be seeing Delaware play a lot of football in the coming years. Likely those early week scheduled games against big programs to get some money in their pocket and maybe develop into something like a James Madison that just, transitioned to the FBS a couple of years ago and now is in the playoffs. So you never know with a football team like this, as far as where the probabilities lie. Louisiana is about a 57% probability of winning this football game. Let's jump to the Thursday game. This is the one right after these games, Thursday, December 18th. This one, man, whoo-hoo, the Xbox Bowl. Now, I love me some Xbox, playing some hockey, playing some college football, whatever you're doing. I'm guessing every single player in this game is going to get an Xbox. So if you're a player, you're probably happy to play in this one. If you're from Arkansas State or Missouri State, you're loving those gift bags they give out. Have you looked into any of those gift bags yet this year, Mr. Story?
No, but knowing Microsoft, I'm guessing they're going to give them the Xbox S, the base model, not necessarily the Xbox X
The cheap
there.
one.
Yeah, they also probably they're probably not going to give them a subscription to Game Pass because they just increased the price. Anyway, here's another program that just entered the FBS, Missouri State. They're still working through the growing pains of transitioning over to the FBS from the group of four. Is that what we're calling it now? It's no longer Division Two. But yeah, so versus Arkansas State, the Red Wolves, they've been pretty good this year. Higher offensive ceiling, stability at quarterback, explosive talent on the offense or at the wide receiver position. So they're pretty strong. But I'm noticing a pattern here with these spreads and these over-unders so far in these lesser known programs. A lot of 2.5, 3.5 point spreads and a lot of totals in the mid-50s. So the question is, is the committee that puts these bowl games together, Mr. Wall, are they just very good at pairing up teams that match up together, or it's just a situation of the odds makers aren't quite sure how to approach these games when you got intra-conference or inter-conference games?
Yeah,
Yeah,
they don't have as much data on these teams, right, Josh? It's harder to make a line like this. I think they're just more or less getting lucky, the teams they select. Also, it trickles down. You get the top tier teams picked for the top tier bowls. It all trickles down, so that's why we get a lot of these even matchups. No, Josh?
No, I would say the same thing. And Mike, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just noticing over the last couple of games we're like mid to high 50s, right? For the over under. It's very interesting and something to keep an eye on as we get a little bit closer to the games.
One thing I want to mention in this game, and I know a lot of our fans don't like to do this, they just like to pony up, nut up, if you will, bet some money on this one. But Arkansas State is +2.5 right now. They're sitting about -110. You can get +2.5 on some books. If you're looking at an exchange or something, you're talking about a 50% probability of either team winning. You can take the 50% probability, and then if you catch it at the right time and you're able to hit the bid on the one of the two, you can go over there and hedge off at +2.5 for Arkansas State and essentially get yourself a free bet if the game ends up being a 1 or 2 point game. These are more complex. They're hard to understand, especially if you're listening to a podcast, but these are things where you can lock in essentially free money. You're probably not going to win any money, but you definitely won't lose any money. So those arbitrage opportunities are always good in games like this when you have a different sports book, a different exchange that doesn't know how to price it right. That's something to look forward. Even if you don't know anything about these two teams, you can potentially make money off these games that way. Let's move to another slate where maybe our fans, maybe even our co-host here and our guests don't know a whole lot about, but Friday, December 19th, we got the Myrtle Beach Bowl presented by Engine, Kennesaw State, which is a team we've talked about on this podcast. And then we got Western Michigan, 11 a.m. on ESPN. Come on, somebody's got a dog in this fight, right?
Well, I mean, we've got not just Kennesaw State, but we've got a conference that we have talked about and loved many times in the past with Western Michigan here, the Broncos, right? First in the Mid-American MAC Conference. This one I'm excited for. This is an early game, 49.5 point over on us, a little lower. Western Michigan -4. Western Michigan has done really well bringing a balance to the game, right? They got that classic MAC Conference balance where they've got good quarterback play, good running back play, good defense. Their red zone defense has been one of the more dependable in the conference. They're gonna try to mix up some looks here, some offensive play calling, and bring some situational defense to counter whatever Kennesaw State's playmaking is going to be. I do think the MAC is probably a better conference than Conference USA. So whether or not that MAC can or whether or not Western Michigan slow down the Kennesaw State offense has yet to be seen, but I got to cheer for the MAC here with NAU, Northern Illinois being our Huskies are in this conference. So I'm going Western Michigan in this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow you, Mikey. Whenever we get to kind of analyzing games like this, I really try and focus on the quarterback play. And what I've noticed, at least from a Western Michigan perspective, is Brock Lowry. He probably runs the ball a little bit more than he passes the ball. He's rushed for almost 1,000 yards this year, which is very impressive for a quarterback. So I would probably lean Western Michigan here as well, just based off of the fact that they've got some experience behind them in the quarterback position, and he appears to be dynamic.
Hey, I love it. And there's going to be a lot of smart fans betting on Kennesaw State because I'm agreeing with both you guys. Western Michigan, I think we lay the points on them. So you're definitely going to want to fade us. We all agree on that game. Another game that same night, December 19th, two teams that I'm sure Mr. Story is happy to see Memphis with that fast tempo offense they got. But we got Memphis versus NC State over there on ESPN. I know you're looking forward to this 57.5 over under, Mr. Story.
Yeah, it's a robust total here. NC State -6 the last time I saw. I'm a little disappointed in Memphis this year. They have been running back university, cranking out very high quality running backs to the NFL for many, many years. But this year, they've got Sutton Smith, but he's only run for just under 700 yards on the ground. He does have a few catches through the air, but really, they don't have that huge playmaker that we're looking for. In fact, Brandon Lewis, the quarterback, he's their second leading rusher on the season so far. So you got a dual threat quarterback there from Memphis. I'm not quite sure where to go with this one. The 6-point spread is throwing me a little bit. I mean, NC State's got a really balanced offensive profile. Bailey has just under 3,000 yards passing. He's got 23 touchdowns this year, a really high completion rate, just under 70%. It's a reliable passing game. Memphis, though, they got a pretty good defense. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I don't know that I'm going to be taking this game other than just watching it. That 6-point spread is really throwing me on this one. If it was 7, 7.5, yeah, give me the dog all day long. If this was closer to 4, I'd probably take NC State.
Mike, do you feel like Memphis's defense is going to be like a factor for you as far as looking at the over under? Because what is it at 58.5?
58.5 in this one,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's a pretty big number.
Yeah, but Memphis can certainly force a fast pace. They got a vertical passing game. They could challenge that NC State defense who likes to lock down. They play a lot of shell, and so they try to limit the explosive plays. If they get behind the defense there, this could lead to some big plays early. So I'm a little worried about taking the under than that with Memphis scoring quick and scoring early.
Yeah. I mean, I think this should be a really, really entertaining game. If nothing else, right? Maybe you don't feel strong enough to bet this one either way. But I'll definitely be tuning in.
I'm going to take the favor in this one. NC State, I like NC State, always like their program. I think they're going to come in a little bit better coached up. I think that offenses have a little more trouble in bowl games when we're talking about postseason play. So I just like NC State at this one. I don't like the 5.5, but if you shop around, you can get that number at 4.5, probably still at -110. Let's jump. This is my favorite bowl. And man, I should ask Woj to be on this program because him and I love talking about this bowl. This is Monday, December 22nd, one of the best bowls of the season, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. I mean, you got to get excited for this one. Not to mention this year in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, I don't think this has ever happened, but we got a conference champion playing in this football game. Washington State versus Utah State. Come on now, you got to be happy to see the Pac-12 champion playing in this one, right?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be Oregon State. They gave an I can't remember who it was, but in week 12 there, they gave some a winless team their first win in the season. Oregon State did. So it certainly wouldn't be them when you got a two-team conference like this. Now, I'll tell you what, this over-under, 52.5, if this was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think we'd see this total near 60. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Wall. The Washington State offense is a little bit of a identity crisis, as it were. They do lean heavily on the quarterback, but Xavier Eckhouse hasn't exactly blown the doors off of the conference this year. It's strong production, but it's not overwhelming production. On the other side, Utah State really liked that program. We had talked about a dual threat quarterback. Well, Bryson Barnes, that is one of the best dual threat quarterbacks in the league. He's got 176 attempts on the ground this year for 700, just over 700 yards. He's got 2,700 yards passing. I mean, Utah State's got talent. They've got explosiveness. I hate to call it an upset because it's -3, but give me Utah State in this one. I think they're going to try to limit Washington State's possessions and actually really rely on Barnes making plays out of the pocket. So yeah, give me the points and give me Utah State. Give me the Aggies in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you again, Mikey. I feel like a broken record here, but when your quarterback on the other side for Washington State has almost as many interceptions as touchdowns, I don't trust him. I'm going to stay away from him. So give me Utah State in this one all the way.
The golden ratio, right, Mr. Wall? The golden ratio.
You guys are really digging those shivs in. Let me tell you, that was my pick here to keep for the college football fantasy season we had. And yes, he did not perform well. I get it from you guys' conversation. Mr. Eckhouse did not do well. I don't disagree, which is disappointing to have him on my team. But Mr. Story can attest to this. Just because of the program name, which he kind of mentioned or alluded to already, anyways, you'd expect Washington State quarterback to have a lot of yards. You expect a lot of passing touchdowns of that nature, but they just didn't get it done this year. So, I'm not against betting Utah State, but as far as this game goes, I will probably just stay completely away from it. As far as a probability standpoint, right now they're pricing in about a 57% probability Utah State does win this game straight up. Let's jump to another Tuesday slate. In this one, we got three bowls. The first one we're going to talk about here is Bush's. That gets some people happy listening to this program. The Bush's Boca Raton Bowl, Toledo versus Louisville. Now, this is a game I'm excited for. Other people might not be as excited for it as me because you got a 9.5, 10-point spread in this one. Louisville is the big favorite going in, -345, over under a 44.5, which is a bit lower than the games we've been talking about so far.
Well, I think it's rather appropriate that this game is on a Tuesday, considering we've got a MAC team playing in this, and they used to have Tuesday Night Action as a regular featured on this program. Now, it feels like they played a lot more Wednesday games in any event. Toledo's one of the better teams in the MAC, 8-4 record, but you're going up against Louisville. It's a better program, a better conference. They kind of reshaped their offensive identity a little bit this year, and that's a team that they have aggressiveness on offense and aggressiveness on defense. They are capable of generating chunk plays. They've got pretty consistent quarterback play. They can operate pretty smoothly. And when they're in rhythm, they're going to stress your defense and they're going to stress it hard. So they're probably going to control the time of possession in this one. They're going to control the clock. Can Toledo generate enough offense to withstand Louisville's defensive pressure? I'm just not so sure they can. It's a step up in competition. I really hate laying nearly two digits, but the fact that it's 9.5 speaks to me. I'm going to take Louisville given the points in this one.
So this is our first disagreement, and that's
Okay.
okay.
That's okay.
That's okay. It makes for good programming, right? And so I think Chris Bell being lost for the year with a torn ACL. So Chris Bell, for those of the listeners that don't know or aren't familiar with the Louisville program, he's Louisville's leading wide receiver. Tore his ACL recently. I think that's going to have a big impact on Louisville's ability to push the ball down the field and score effectively. I like Toledo to cover in this one.
I'm not going to break the tie. I'm just going to
Ah,
I'm going to
okay.
stay away from it. I'm going to be the old politician there, not give a sway one way or the other because I really don't like either team. The spread is just too much for me. I like Louisville. If it's you're talking about 6.5 number, you give me that all day long. But as far as 9.5 going up two scores against a respectable team in Toledo, I don't know that I like that, especially with a game that's expected to score such low points. It's hard to lay 10 points when you're only getting an over under, which the professionals are saying of 44, 45 points. So it's tough to lay those points in that situation. So I'm just going to stay away from it altogether. I do want to crush some people's hopes and dreams. This is the Bush's Baked Beans, Boca Raton Bowl. I'm sorry. No Bush Light here. Their players aren't getting a case, a 24 pack in their bags, in their swag bags. But Maybe they'll get a can of beans. That would be disappointing. Be a play. Let's jump to
It's no
another game.
Xbox, I'll tell you that.
No Xbox. No Xbox Series S, right? No,
Yes.
sir. New Orleans Bowl also being played this Tuesday, December 23rd, just a couple days before Christmas. Remember how exciting life gets this time of year, man. We got Christmas, but we also got college football. It's great. Western Kentucky versus Southern Miss. Man, it's tough because it's another game that I don't really have an opinion on. We got Western Kentucky laying a 4. You want to bet them, you got to give up 4. Over under a 55.5 in this one. Some places you might see 56.5, 57, because that looks like that number is moving up. People expecting a little more scoring than the lines makers originally posted. You think there's a total lean in this one, Mr. Story?
We had a nice little reprieve with both the spread and the over under, but we're back to that -3.5, 4, and mid-50s over under in this one. I'm a little confused with both programs, in particular Southern Miss. Their identity kind of flipped a little bit this year. They used to be a really strong running team, and this year their leading rusher only has 640 yards on the ground, whereas their quarterback, Braylon Braxton, he's been quite prolific, almost 2,800 passing yards, 23 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. On the flip side, Western Kentucky, they do a lot of things just okay. I don't think they do anything really exceptionally. Parrish is a decent running back, but he's got barely 500 yards this year. And then McIvor, 1,900 yards passing. There's just not a lot to really get excited about. There's not a lot of explosiveness with Western Kentucky. Defense probably is going to run the day on this one. I'm not so sure that I like this game in general. I don't really know enough about either of these teams. I think I've watched a combined one game for them over the last 2 years. So I'm just going to have to take a step back and say, I just don't know enough about it. And that spread, it seems like it's pretty efficient to me.
Yeah, I think the only other thing I'd call out for this one is that Southern Miss has officially backed into this bowl game, right? They've lost 3 straight games. Again, I'm not sure how much you guys believe in momentum is playing a factor in these types of bowl games, especially with the break in action, right? Because it'll have been several weeks since they've played. But something to think about, I think, as you analyze the matchup here with between the Hilltoppers and the Golden Eagles. So I'm kind of with you, Mike. I'll probably stay away from this game. Maybe this is a game where I would look at betting the under at what is it, 55.5, I think is the number right now. But yeah, I would probably stay away from picking a winner here.
Couldn't concur more, my friend. This is a game where maybe I'll watch it, maybe I'll bet live, see how the lines are swinging. Try to get it where you got that -4 number. I'll be on the money lines. You guys know that, but make it easy for you guys to understand on the spread. We got that -4 number, and then all of a sudden, Southern Miss gets a touchdown or something, and that number drops to -1. I'll try to fade that movement and go back to where the professionals thought the game should be. Try to go back to that professional handicap or set line and get that number above -4. So if I get that -1, -2, that's how I might play it in this one. But as far as a pregame bet, I'm just going to let my system do what it does, and I'm not going to take a side or a direction in this one. We'll jump to another game that Tuesday, December 23rd. It's the last game of the night at 9 p.m. This is a late one, for a Tuesday night anyways. UNLV versus Ohio, 9 p.m. on ESPN. We got UNLV giving up 4.5, but it looks like that's -108. So expect it to go down to 3.5 probably at some point. We got the highest over under that we've talked about so far in this slate of games, 62.5.
Well, and talk about prolific passers, Anthony Colandria, the quarterback at UNLV. This is a kid who is definitely improved this year. It's a pretty efficient play that we've seen, very explosive on those scripted drives, especially coming out of halftime or the first couple of possessions there. They start fast, they force opponents into some defensive mistakes, having to make some adjustments, which puts teams on the back foot. At the same time, Ohio comes in with a lot of stability. Both that quarterback, Navarro's been there for 4 years, and then Saban Gurrell, one of the better running backs in the back, one in the MAC, one of the better running backs in the country, frankly. He spent 1 year at Minnesota, barely got on the field, but prior to that, he was at Ohio, so he comes back home. Big question is, can UNLV's big game, early game explosiveness disrupt the rhythm that Ohio prefers? Because they're one of the better defenses in the MAC. If they do hit on some of those big plays early, this one could get out of hand fast, and I'm not sure that Ohio can really recover from that. So at 4.5 seems a little too steep, a little too rich for my blood. I'm going to lay off, but if it does creep down under 4, then I'm probably going to put a little bit on UNLV.
Again, I'm going to agree with Mikey here. I like UNLV. I think their offense is just too explosive for Ohio to match. It makes sense to me that the points line is where it is, 62.5. This is probably going to be a game where Ohio is just trying to scramble and score as many points as they can to keep up with UNLV's explosive offense. So I like UNLV here.
Hey, I like it. I like the put your money where your mouth is type bet. And come on now, Josh, put down some of those bets. I love it. I love it. You know what, guys? I got some exciting news for you. I appreciate you guys legging with me through some of those games. They're all the college football games are exciting. But again, we don't watch a lot of those teams that we just talked about throughout the season a lot. So we can't give a very informed opinion. We try to give what we can as far as information what we have. But we're going to jump into the college football playoff first round games. And I know these guys know what they're talking about when it comes to that. I want to mention that we are going to go back in time a little bit because the first game, as far as the college football playoff goes, is on December 19th, which is jumping us back in time again. But it's against two big dogs. Let me tell you, this is a game that's going to be very exciting. Oklahoma versus number 9, Alabama. We got Alabama as the favorite, -1.5, but it's essentially a pick 'em. Mr. Story at one point might have seen them getting points. He said he doesn't know for sure, but it very well could have because this is essentially a pick 'em game. Over under, and this one is 40.5, by far the lowest over under that we've talked about so far. Come on now, hit me with the good stuff. You loving material these days or hating them, Mr. Story?
Mr. Materia, that name has come up quite a few times on this podcast. I'm gonna leave my personal feeling out of this. I'm gonna start this game with this will be interesting to see because this is a first real home field game that we're gonna see in the college football playoffs. This one is being played in Oklahoma, so you're talking noise, crowd, all that kind of stuff, that tough environment that we talked about previously in story time and throughout this podcast all year long. This one is going to be interesting because neither team comes in with much of a running game. Obviously, Alabama with Ty Simpson is a much more high-flying offensive, passing game. They got Ryan Williams, although he's underperformed a little bit this year. Jeremy Bernard, whereas Oklahoma really relies on the defense. And I think this game is going to come down to the defenses and how each defense handles the quarterback's strength. So Ty Simpson standing in the pocket, can he make those plays downfield? Or can Oklahoma get pressure, make him force him into mistakes? Versus can Alabama, can they adjust? Do they need to keep a spy? Mateer, he did have a lull in the middle of the season after that thumb surgery that he had where he wasn't running as much, but he is a true dual threat quarterback. Only 418 yards on the ground, still more than most quarterbacks, not nearly as many as he had last year. But are they going to be able to contain Jon Mateer, or is he going to get out of the pocket, make plays downfield, and even take off with his legs? I'm going to hold back because I got an opinion on this one on the spread and the money line, but I'd love to hear Josh's thoughts on this first.
So I have a big rooting interest in this game because the winner of this game is going to play my beloved Indiana Hoosiers in the Rose Bowl. So I obviously super interested in the outcome of this one. Again, we kind of talked about it in some of the other bowl game matchups. In my opinion, quarterback play when you're looking at both Ty Simpson and Jon Mateer, the more consistent quarterback is clearly Ty Simpson. So I think that is what's going to push the scales in favor of Alabama in this one. I like Alabama. I think they are the more explosive team. I think obviously going on the road is going to be tough. It always is. But I trust Simpson more than I do Mateer, which is why I'm going to take Alabama in this.
So frankly, I disagree with you on this one, and it's going against my feelings, personal feelings on this one. But I don't trust either of these quarterbacks, so I'm gonna lean into the defense, and I'm gonna trust Venable's defense. I agree that when Ty Simpson gets in rhythm, he's really good. It's really tough to stop him, especially stop him vertically in the seam, etc. But I think Oklahoma's defense is big enough, strong enough, fast enough that they're gonna be able to disrupt that, and you're gonna see a lot of third and longs for Alabama, and Ty Simpson is going to get flustered. So low scoring game, but I think OU edges out Alabama in this one and they move on to face the Hoosiers in the next round.
Oklahoma, hammer them. I am betting big against Alabama in this bowl game. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Alabama does not belong in the college football playoff. Let's go over their schedule. This is one of the tough. We've been listening to these blowhards talk all week about how tough this Alabama schedule is, right? Let's talk about how tough it was. We can't count that last game they played at Georgia. That was not a football game. They did not show up. The players might as well just stayed on the bus if you watch that one. Before that, they played a team called Auburn. Auburn losing record on the season. Wow, fantastic schedule they have there. Before that, they played Eastern Illinois. Sorry, I had to pause there so that people could understand what I was saying. They were playing Eastern Illinois the game before that. The game before that, guess who they were playing? I'll tell you, Oklahoma, the team they're playing now. They lost that football game. The best schedule in the nation. You know what, blowhards? I'll tell you where to go because I don't know how you can call it the best schedule in the nation. Make it easy. I'm taking Oklahoma. You give me plus 1.5, I'm putting the house on it. Let's jump to another game here. Miami, number 10 in the nation versus number 7 in the nation, Texas A&M. Come on now, playing at Kyle Field. Texas A&M is home. I mean, Mr. Story, you can guess where I'm going in this one. Josh, you might know well enough where I'm going, but I'll let Josh go first in this one since I kind of ripped on his pick there. What do you think in this football game, Josh?
Well, hopefully I get a chance to redeem myself with this one.
Well, Alabama wins, you redeem yourself.
Yeah, I like A&M here. I love the fact that they're at home, and we've talked about it so much on the pod this year. Carson Beck, I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, and I'm not very strong. So I will definitely take Texas A&M here. I think, what is it, at -3.5? That's a number that I'm comfortable with. I think it's going to be at least a touchdown advantage for Texas A&M. I feel really strongly about this one. Probably the most strong out of any of these the playoff matchups, at least in this round. So yeah, I'm going to be all over A&M.
I'm gonna agree with you there, Josh. I love the fact that this is a home field. Now, don't get me wrong, Carson Beck is playing well in spots. This is probably the most efficient he's played in his career, nearly 75% completion percentage, 25 to 10 touchdown to interception ratio. But that Miami offense relies really heavily on communication and timing, and the crowd noise there at Kyle Field can really disrupt both of those. So Texas A&M, they got a real big advantage here. Marcell Reed is a dual threat quarterback. I think their season looks different if Le'Veon Moss doesn't get hurt for the season and they have a consistent contributor at running backs other than the first 4 or 5 games of the season. This one, I don't think Miami's going to be able to protect Beck long enough. Like I said, the timing is going to get disrupted. This feels like I wouldn't be surprised if Texas A&M sneaks out a win, but it also I'd be equally I wouldn't be equally shocked if they end up blowing out Miami and Carson Beck in this one as well. Not to mention, we talked about Marcell Reed, but my God, that passing game. Concepcion, Mario Craver, Bethel Roman, all like big play threats downfield. I'm looking forward to Texas A&M coming out firing in this one. And that 51.5, that seems a little too low to me. I like the over in this one too.
I mean, that Reed Concepcion offensive dynamic there, that duel, it might be one of the best in the SEC as far as quarterback wide receiver combinations go. I'm excited to see that. I don't think Miami can stop that. I agree with the latter of the two you said. I believe Texas A&M handles this game. I don't know that it's going to be a quote unquote blowout. I just think they're going to straight up dominate this team the way they play football. They're going to go slow, but they're going to dominate them. I'm going to give that -3.5 to Miami, Florida all day long. I'm going to give them -12.5 in this one at +233 and alt line. I'm going to stay under that key 14 number and go with that 12.5 at +233 because I just think this Texas A&M football team has been one of the best teams in the nation throughout the year. Miami of Florida, another football team that does not belong in the college football playoff. I put my money where my mouth is. I'm betting big on A&M in this one. I'm glad that my bet will clear on December 19th so I can go bet the house again on December 20th on Texas A&M. Assuming I still have a house at that point anyways, because anybody can win any one of these games. Let's jump to another game that day, Saturday, December 20th, the old bought Hemingway Stadium football game. You know, these bowl games don't necessarily have a name because there is a home team in this one. They're hosting the away team, Tulane. Well, they got to go against Ole Miss in this football game, Mr. Story. I know you're hammering Tulane. I know you're big on the green wave here to beat Ole Miss. How much money are you going to put on the green wave here?
17.5 point spread, 56.5 point over under. That is just a massive spread in the college football play. And that's not, we're not, we'll just wait till we get to the final game here. But yeah, that is my God, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this game with the whole Ole Miss situation, Lane Kiffin leaving. There was rumors about Trinidad Chambliss following him to LSU. The thing about this game is it should be exciting. Right, you've got two teams with dynamic dual threat quarterbacks. Jeff Ratliff there for Tulane, got 600 yards on the ground, 2,800 yards Not a huge passing touchdown total, but then Trinidad Chambliss comes in for the injured Austin Simmons, doesn't give the job back in a less than full season. He throws for 3,000 yards, 18 touchdowns, only three interceptions, and he's got 417 yards on the ground with six touchdowns. Not to mention Cameron Lacy, almost 1,300 yards on the ground. I'm not quite sure that I can bet on Tulane on this one. I know it's a massive point spread, but this is a really outstanding Ole Miss offense, and it's still the SEC and an SEC defense. I'm not sure that Tulane's going to be comfortable enough to score enough to actually cover that 17 and a half point spread. Josh, am I wrong?
No, you're not. And I mean, again, the thing that you mentioned right out front, but Tulane has to play this game at Ole Miss. Like that's such a huge difference from being a neutral site game, like most bowl games are. So I no, I there's a huge gap in talent. You mentioned Trinidad Chambliss. You mentioned Lacey. I don't think Tulane has enough firepower to keep up. I think the line's probably at what it should be. I would take Ole Miss and not think twice about it in this game.
Okay, well, you guys aren't going to like what I have to say about this one, apparently. And a lot of people think I'm stupid when I say this, but I'm going to be taking Tulane on the money line to win this football game straight up. They're about plus 600 right now. And again, this is not something where I think that Tulane is going to go out there and win this football game 9 out of 10 times. That's just not what I'm betting. That is not the wager I'm making. I'm betting that that plus 600 number is not indicative of the true value of what that distribution of games, if they were played 1,000 times, comes out to. I just think that that number should be a bit lower. Tulane is a respectable program. The problem with Ole Miss, Mr. Story mentioned it quickly at the beginning, they have a lot of flux right now. They have a lot of coaches that are leaving the program. How do they get their players amped? Are they prepared enough to take on a very good football game team in Tulane? Now, this game is played during the season. Mr. Kiffin's there, the whole staff's there. The players are still in the same mindset. Not, we just lost our coach. We lost a couple of players that are transferring to LSU because he left. If this game's played earlier in the season, there's not a chance in hell I'm betting on Tulane. But I just think that plus 600 is a good number, and I don't want to get a lot of hate mail when Ole Miss goes out there and crushes them. That's just not what my bet is. I'm just betting that that line is not accurate. So that's where I'm going to go in this one, and I'll probably take the over to hedge it a little bit, because if I'm wrong, Ole Miss probably scores 70 points
70
against.
points.
Yeah, they probably score 70 points against these guys. Let me tell you, that's just how it goes. That Mr. Simmons is going to be back there slinging the football game, making sure I'm losing my bet, right, Mr. Story?
Mr. Simmons is good, is waiting in the wings. I kid
So
you
that I can
not.
lose money. That's what he's doing. He's already planning it out in his head. Let me tell you, that's what these football players do. They help me lose money. But let's jump to the last game in our set. Again, we're going to do three sets of football games, college football bowl games, I should say. And this is the first set. James Madison, now a team a lot of people don't think should be in this playoff. So I'm really excited to hear what you guys have to say about this game. But James Madison versus number five team in the nation, the Oregon Ducks at Autzen Stadium. Josh mentioned earlier, there is a home team in these first round playoff games. It is the Oregon Ducks. So James Madison, not only do they have to deal with a football team that is, well, I'm putting my opinion out there, much better than them, they also have to go to Oregon's home stadium and win it at their stadium. Is that a reason to stay away from the game, or maybe just lay the 500 points that Oregon's giving them? I don't know. You guys tell me.
Well, this one is, I'm not sure that we have seen this before, nor will we see it again, but a 21 and a half point spread in the first round of the college football playoffs is unheard of. This comes down to a number of factors, but the fact of the matter is, James Madison, their implied point total is 14 and a half in this game. And it's tough to see where they can even get to that. Oregon has Their offense is incredibly balanced between Dante Moore and their running game. They don't have one standout running back, but they're able to rotate through a stable of backs, all of whom are very productive. And Dante Moore, in and of himself, quite a few yards on the season, 26 touchdowns to only four or five interceptions, something like that. This one is an impressive Oregon offense and one of the better defenses, one of the tougher defenses in the Big Ten. And you mentioned it. This one's at Autzen Stadium, Mr. Wall. This is a significant factor here. This is one of the most, the most intimidating, one of the loudest venues in the Big Ten, certainly, if not college football. In this first round home playoff environment, this is going to magnify that advantage. You think that the Oregon Ducks fans aren't going to be out in full force as loud as they possibly can, saying, "Yeah, we're on to the next round here, JMU. It's been nice knowing you, but this one, I don't know that JMU can handle the pressure that Oregon's bringing to this. I'm not saying whether or not they should be in the college football playoff, whether the most deserving, whether the best team." But I'm not touching this spread with a 10-foot pole. 21 and a half screams Like, this one should be an Oregon easy cover, but I would hate to be holding a 21.5 point ticket and JMU is down by 28 and they get a touchdown to close out the game. You get one of those backdoor covers. I'm just staying away from this one altogether. I'm going to enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mikey. I'm staying far away from this. Oregon's only loss this year, their only loss is to the number one team in the country. So I to a 21.5 is such a large number, and it goes back to the conversation that we were having right at the beginning of the episode tonight. Is this system a bit broken, right? Do we really want to see a 21.5 point spread in this big of a game? That may be a conversation for another episode or another podcast altogether, but I don't think James Madison belongs with these other teams. I certainly don't think they're going to go in and put up too much of a fight to the Oregon Ducks. Oregon's a very quality football team on both sides, and I just yeah the spread is going to keep me away. But yeah, I certainly don't think that James Madison is going to win this game.
I really like how Josh, he didn't even mention the football team's name. And I'll tell you, it's Indiana. He just said the number one team in the nation is their only one. That's how he refers to his Hoosiers. You know,
That's right.
we
That's right.
have
I don't even have to call them out by name anymore.
no, the Homer over here, the number one team in the nation. Let me tell you, I love it, Josh. Hey, you enjoy it while it lasts, brother. I'm happy for your Indiana Hoosiers. I would refer to my Hawkeyes the same way as the number one team in the nation, but I love it. I love it. It's a good point. Oregon just they haven't lost a football game, and now they're playing a team that is far inferior to most of the opponents that they played throughout the season. Not saying that Oregon had the toughest schedule in the world, but still, they're playing Big Ten football teams back to back. I do like James Madison. I respect the fact that they joined the FBS just 3 years ago or 4 years ago, whichever it was, and they're already in the college football playoff. I mean, that's fantastic. Great job, James Madison. I respect your program for that. The problem I have is right now we're talking about, which has been butchered so many times. I'm going to say it again, though. 21.5 point favorite Oregon is playing them. So we have a 21.5 point game. Had we had Notre Dame come into the playoff picture, we're talking about Oregon Ducks being an underdog in this game. You're talking about Oregon getting 2.5 points. And again, this is my opinion. This is where I would put the line. I'll tell you, it's pretty damn close to wherever the professionals would put it, though, because it's what I do. You're talking about a football team that would be an underdog. Had Notre Dame made the playoffs, instead, they're a 21.5 point favorite. What is wrong with the college football playoff? That right there, the people who put their money where their mouth is say something is completely wrong. I don't know how they're going to fix it, but I hope they fix it some way. And it just goes to Josh's point about there is something wrong with it. Before we leave everyone with negative feelings that I just brought up, I want to ask you guys, out of all the games that we talked about in this set, not any other bowl games, not from the other sets we're going to talk about later on throughout bowl season, but from this set, is there anything, one or two games, whether it be point total, spreads, money lines, that you're wanting to hit and you want to tell the fans, hey man, this is something I'm looking to do?
Josh, I got one. Do you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So for me, and you kind of mentioned it, it's this Texas A&M Miami game. Josh, you had mentioned you don't trust Carson Beck. And listen, in his losses, he's only got two touchdowns and six interceptions. That's an extremely volatile situation there. Texas A&M is a steadier team. Mike Elko's defense, they force quarterbacks into making mistakes. With a combination of that, the home field, and a super reliable offense in Texas A&M, give me the Aggies minus 3.5. That is the game that I look forward to pounding the most in this slate.
Yeah, I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. I'll you know what? But because you picked that one, I'm gonna give you another one. And I know we already talked about this game, and it's gonna go against everything that Mr. Wall stands for. But I really like Alabama at minus 1.5. So I was originally gonna say Texas A&M there, but since you went first and you stole my thunder, Mr. Story. Give me Alabama is my game that I'm feeling most confident about.
Hey, I love it. You guys got some money on the line. You're putting your money where the mouth is. I like it. I hope you're putting down real bets. I hope you're putting the house on these bets. I'll tell you one thing, Texas A&M, I am betting them big. So I'm going to steal Mr. Story's pick here. Josh, I am 100% going against you. The other game that I like out of this slate that we talked about so far, you guys might have been able to tell from what I was saying. Oklahoma, I like Oklahoma Sooners too. beat Alabama straight up, whether I take my 1.5 points or I take them on the money line, that is still to be decided. I'll have to talk to Josh because, we're betting this one straight up, baby. Come on now,
Yeah.
Josh. You
Hell
ready or
yeah,
what?
I'm in, man. You know me, I'm not gonna shy away.
No. We'll talk about the amount off air. I'm thinking maybe 5, 10K, something like that, but we'll figure that out off air and then we'll keep it amongst ourselves so the nation never actually hears about who won the money or how much money I lost in this one.
Just a few car payments, right, gentlemen?
That's right. That's
No,
right. Yeah.
ain't nothing but pennies, let me tell you, brother. You know what? I appreciate everyone sticking with us. We did keep it under an hour, which I'm excited about. And I'm excited that, Mr. Story, Mr. Harlow here, we talked about a lot of games, a lot of teams that maybe don't make the headlines, yet they knew what they were talking about and a lot of stuff. And where they didn't just make stuff up. They let you know, hey, I don't exactly know 100% about this game, which I appreciate 100% because that's how we try to keep the program, only given the information we can speak to. But what we're going to do two more sets of bowl games. We'll do one next Wednesday, record it, and then it'll be airing Thursday. I know Mr. Story won't be here for that one. Hopefully get Josh or maybe Jeremy or maybe both of them. Who knows? We'll talk about it, figure it out. And then thereafter, we'll do another set of bowl games, the last set of bowl games there coming up for the bowl season. Josh, I appreciate you being with us. Mr. Story, as always, appreciate you being with us. Any final words for the fans before we start this great era of bowl games?
Well, I'll be down in Florida next week, so I'm gonna have to get my bets in. I'll be furiously Monday morning on my phone as we're boarding the plane there, making sure that I got everything set because I haven't joined the exchanges yet, Mr. Wall, and I need to make sure that I'm still in Illinois. But let's go Aggies, and I guess on Wednesday, let's go Bulls because I'll be down there in the South Florida territory.
If you need anyone to play some of your bets, you just let me know, Mike. Yeah, I've got your back. But no, thank you guys again for having me on. I'm exhausted. That was a heck of a slate of college football that we just talked about. So I'm excited for the matchups and even more excited to see how the CFP progresses here in the coming weeks.
Marathon podcasting, baby. You got to drink that energy drink before you jump on this program, especially during bowl season. But we'll be back with you guys to talk about the rest of the games. I appreciate everyone sticking with us. Stay sharp, sports bettors.